have delivered the calf by embryotomy, by passing a wire over the neck and sawing off the head. So many of these occasions ended with the floor strewn with heads, legs, heaps of intestines. There were thick textbooks devoted to the countless ways you could cut up a calf. But none of it was any good here, because this calf was alive. At my furthest stretch, I had got my finger as far as the commissure of the mouth, and had been startled by a twitch of the little creature's tongue. It was unexpected, because calves in this position are usually dead, asphyxiated by the acute flexion of the neck and the pressure of the dam's powerful contractions. But this one had a spark of life in it, and if it came out, it would have to be in one piece. I went over to my bucket of water, cold now and bloody, and silently soaked my arms. Then I lay down again, feeling the cobbles harder than ever against my chest. I worked my toes between the stones, shook the sweat from my eyes, and for the 100th time thrust an arm that felt like spaghetti into the cow, alongside the little dry legs of the calf, like sandpaper tearing against my flesh, then to the bend in the neck, and so to the ear, and then agonizingly along the side of the face towards the lower jaw, which had become my major goal in life. It was incredible that I had been doing this for nearly 2 hours, fighting as my strength ebbed to push a little noose round the jaw. I had tried everything else, repelling a leg, gentle traction with a blunt hook in the eye socket, but I was back to the noose. It had been a miserable session all through. The farmer, Mr. Dinsdale, was a long, sad, silent man of few words who always seemed to be expecting the worst to happen. He had a long, sad, silent son with him, and the two of them had watched my efforts with deepening gloom.